8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
From the studios here in Accra, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, which examines issues from the perspectives of newsmakers and experts. I am Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, Accra Circuit Court places injunction on planned demonstration by breakaway faction of GNAT, NAT, and NAGRAT. But what is the group's reaction to the court's decision? One-time NDC chairman Dr. Obediawa Samuah hints of plans to go back to the party. Is he taking advantage of the recent democratic moves in the NDC? And Nanado embarks on another listening tour, this time to the central region. Does the tour give him a head start in the 2012 elections? Behind the News on Radio Ghana, and as usual, we encourage you to be very active listeners. You can send your comments by text to 026-441-8767, and we move on to our first story. The dream of the coalition of concerned teachers, the breakaway faction of NAT, and the National Association of Graduate Teachers, NAGRAT, to embark on an initial demonstration today could not materialize as an Accra Circuit Court placed an injunction on the demonstration. The group had wanted to go on 4 days demonstration to press home their demand on the leadership of NAT and NAGRAT to resign for the poor handling of the migration of teachers onto the single spine salary structure. Granting an ex parte motion filed by the police, the court said it cannot allow the group to converge on the NAT hall since it is a breakaway faction of NAT. The court also supported the argument by the police that the service is under-resourced and would not be able to mobilize enough personnel to monitor the said demonstration. It therefore advised the Coalition of Concerned Teachers to reschedule the demonstration, find an alternative location other than the NAT hall, and liaise with the police for a convenient date. But what would the group make of the decision of the court? Nana Bwachi Yadom is a member of the communication team of the Coalition of Concerned Teachers, and he's joined us on the line. Thanks so much for your time this evening, Nana.
You're welcome, sir.
Our news just said some of you were rounded up. What is the situation presently?
Oh, at the moment, of course, I would say that things are calm now. And of course, there's gathered, and we are taking or we are planning the next step of action.
Yeah. Did you not get the information earlier before you gathered to await others? Hello?
No.
You didn't get it at all. That is the court making a decision that you should rescind your decision in the interim.
No, we never had anything. You know, what happened was that the Coalition of Teachers, we wrote to the police on the 4th of July, notifying them of our intended action today. And the police, of course, wrote a reply that because of the NDC Congress, and for that matter, the men will be overstressed, they could not provide the necessary security. And moreover, the number that we quoted as to be converging at the NAT hall was also very huge. And so we replied that letter and stated again that, of course, the number is not going to be as much. And more importantly, if the police believe that it is overstretched, which one believes that we are law-abiding citizens, and for that matter, we'll be able to converge peacefully and then demonstrate against the leadership. In any case, the issue as to the injunction was we only heard it on news. And we believe that if a court, you know, wants to serve you an injunction, it doesn't have to take you to the media houses because we are the parties involved. And so the court, of course, we never had any letter to that effect that there was any injunction. We only had a rumor that there was injunction on the activity of today. But interestingly, as soon as we arrived there, just a few minutes, then we saw the police coming, you know, from all directions, and then they came and then picked us up, and then they showed us a copy of the letter. And so, basically, that is what happened today.
So what is your next line of action?
As we speak, of course, the leadership, we are at a crunch meeting, and we are planning the next step of action. And so I cannot at the moment give out what we are going to do in the next days or ahead of us.
Yes, but at least you have in mind of going ahead, even though you've been told to wait in the interim. How soon do you want to adopt different strategies and then back on your demonstration?
Well, I can assure you that, of course, it is going to be very soon. As I speak with you, I'm telling you that the leadership is in the crisis meeting, and very soon we will come out to the next step of action. So very soon.
Yeah, but have you approached the police again to ask when it will be possible, looking at the situation now?
Could the police come again?
Have you approached the police to ask when it will be possible for you to embark on, since they will have to put men on the ground?
Obviously, we are not ruling that one out. That is a crucial decision we need to, a crucial negotiation we need to embark with the police. Obviously, the statement of court today with regards to the court claims that we are not members of the association, and that one, of course, we want to contest, because we believe that nobody, of course, if you remember, there was a rumor, there was a letter from NAT that 25 members of the leadership, you know, have been expelled. And if you look at the number of teachers who converge at the NAT hall today, there are more than 25. Interestingly, even out of the 25, NAT could only mention Enel Sokoku and 24 others. After the 24 others, whether I'm a member or who is a member, NAT could not take it. And so it's the decision of the court that we are not members of the NAT is neither here nor there. And so we are looking at contesting that decision in court. We are also trying to negotiate with the police as to the next step of action.
But Nana Buachi, you brought up one thing, and let's look at that issue. Why do you want to go on a demonstration when you have formed a new teachers association? Do you still want to belong to NAT and still have that splinter group?
Thank you very much. You see, the impression, I mean, this is a perception, or probably it's a wrong impression that the public has got it. The Coalition of Concerned Teachers is not a breakaway group, but we are members of both NAT and MANTRAC, and we strongly believe that we want to remain in the association acting as a pressure group to ensure that indeed where there is unfairness, where there is injustice, whether we think that things are not straight in, we push our leaders so that they do the right thing. And so it is not a breakaway group. We are members of NAT, we are members of MANTRA. And so if somebody says that we are a breakaway group, and sometimes I hear people say Coalition of Concerned Teachers Association, I have not formed any association. You can cross check from the register, and you, it will be very clear that there's no association like Coalition of Concerned Teachers. It's just a group of teachers who feel that, no, the time has come for the teacher to fight for whatever is due him or her. And that is why we always or constantly been saying that we are members of NAT and NAGRA. So we are not a breakaway group, my brother.
Yeah. Your main beef started from the migration onto the single spine salary structure. What has been your main concern, even as you speak?
Thank you very much. Of course, the single spine salary structure was just a window for some of the things, of course, which were hidden to be brought out. One, we are saying that the condition of service of the teacher is nothing to write home about. And this, we strongly believe that if we have up and doing leadership, they'll be able to negotiate properly so that the teacher elsewhere or throughout the nation will be able to enjoy something good. The basic salary is nothing to write home about. You don't have any kind of allowances or course that you can depend on. And when you go to school, of course, what you have to do, you go to school, you come back empty-handed. So there's nothing, apart from the salary that you pay, there's nothing that you take home as a teacher. Then secondly, now if you take NAT as an association, look, every month, a percentage of your salary, about 2% of your salary is taken as due. And then they take about 10 Ghana cedis as your fund. Look, let's even run it up. Assuming that I'm paying a dues of 10 Ghana cedis, at the end of every month, you can multiply that one by the number of months we have in a year, that is 12. So at the end of the year, I am paying 120 Ghana cedis to the association called NAT. Look, the legitimate question CPT has been asking is, what has NAT been doing with all this money? You know, you live in an association where you don't even have the power to say whatever you want to. You cannot even hold the leadership accountable. The leadership, of course, they do whatever they want. Now, we have so many investments. If you take NAT hotels, NAT height, and all those things. The question is, what are we as members who are contributing to the association then let's be careful. You know, it will be very interesting or a very sad to hear that if, for example, you're a teacher and you go to the NAC hotel, you show your ID card that you're a member of NAC. Look, then they'll tell you that the hotel is full. They will even get you a place to sleep. But you'll be there and somebody who is not a teacher will come and then they'll open or they'll offer the place for that person.
Now, that's what you had on. Yes, you've mentioned some of your concerns, but hold on for a moment. We want to go back to the line and joining us. We want to just examine how NAS has been able to deal with some of the problems you are just raising. And we've been joined by BK Osei, Head of Salaries at NAS. Thanks so much for your time, sir. You've heard your member, because he claims still to be a member and just belonging to a pressure group. What is the latest on the developments with them?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity you've given us to tell our side of the story. Let me first of all express my gratitude to majority of teachers who have not allowed themselves to be deceived by people who call themselves concerned teachers. Because some of the issues that they are raising are neither here nor there. In the first place, the one who was speaking to you is not a member of NAS. He used to be a member of NAS. But as he talks now, he is not a member of NAS. He has been expelled from the organization. And the reason for expelling him from the organization is that if you say you are a member of a union and you decide that you will not go by the rules of the game and that whatever conditions are there, you will never go by it, then you cannot claim that you are a member of a union. The NAC has a constitution, which they claim is a bogus constitution. And a few people cannot take majority of the members of the union to ransom. We don't have a problem at all if he decides to go and form a union. That is his best right, best as well as constitutional right. He could go ahead and form their own union. But as I talk to you, a letter written by the president of the Ghana National Association of Teachers has given an indication that 25 people who constitute the leadership of the concerned teachers have been expelled from the organization. So that is what it is. This issue went to Labor Commission, and the Labor Commission directed that the concerned teachers, the leaders of concerned teachers, must meet with the leadership of the various unions, NAGRAT and NAS, to look at the issues that they are raising. NAGRAT met their members who call themselves concerned teachers. And after they had explained the whole situation to them, the people understood it. Now, we also met the concerned teachers who in those days belonged to the Ghana National Association of Teachers. Why is it that for them they don't even understand what we explained to them? If really they are members of NAS, then the meeting that we held with them should have explained every issue that they are talking about. It shouldn't have come to this level. Now, there is no shortcut to anything. We have a constitution. If they are saying that the leadership of NAS must move, yes, definitely, why not? It's not our property. We didn't appoint ourselves to this position. It was the constitution that directed what should be done. So if they are not prepared to go by the constitution, they can have a number of demonstrations that they like. For me and for some of us who are appointed and sitting here, no amount of demonstrations can move anybody out of here.
Yeah.
If you don't want the constitution, the best thing is that they are having local conferences. Be part of the local conferences and come out with your ideas. Now, when you have come out with your ideas and it is carried at conference, why not? Because the NAT is for all of us. Everybody here in NAT pays dues to the organization. Now, I'm very sad that somebody who claimed to be a teacher is speaking the way he is doing. Because at least we know we have a structure by which we account for every peso that is collected from the teachers. I wonder whether when they set up their union, they will not pay dues.
Mr. BK Osei, just a moment. Let's clarify this. He's saying that they've not formed a different union or an association, so we can't even add Coalition of Concerned Teachers Association because they are just a pressure group from the two associations, that is NAS and NAGRAT.
If they want to know how pressure groups work, the way they are going about this is not what pressure group does. if you really understand the principle of racial group and trade unionism, the way they are going about it is neither here nor there. If they want to be taught how pressure groups work, we should be able to teach them how it's done, but not walking on the street and telling lies about everybody.
Ideally, what would you like them to
and
do?
Refusing to go to work and everybody is looking on. What type of pressure group is that? And again, he says that they are part of that. To me, the leadership are not part of that. If he's saying that some teachers who are not leaders are still part of that, I have no problem, because those we have identified, and the 25 of them have been expelled from the NAT. So they cannot claim that they are.
He said it was only one name that was given and 24 others. That is what Nana Bwachi.
We have written individual letters to all of them. He's not telling you the truth. And colleagues, there's something that very interesting that I want to tell the general public. I have in my hand here the supposed salary structure that the concerned teachers sent to the Labour Commission, which is not even the institution. I mean, if you look at it, it's a proposed salary structure. And if you look at what they have written here, it has nothing to do with salary structure, except that the consultant whom they are talking about does not even know the difference between conditions of service and salary structure. That consultant is therefore an apology to the profession.
Mr. Biki,
I
say.
Look, there are some of the issues that they are deceiving our members, and you have given me the chance to explain the whole thing.
I'll come back to you because we are trying to exploit to get to an amicable settlement. And Nana Bwachi, Adam, you are still on the line. Mr. Biki, yes. Is saying that perhaps you want to be a pressure group, but the approach is not quite what you should adopt.
All right, thank you very much. First of all, maybe let me take the permission to educate my senior brother there. He talks of salary structure, proposed salary structure, and he is sort of rubbishing probably the work of the consultant and the work of the CCT. Look, let me take this opportunity to educate you. When we met at the Labour Commission, the agreement or what the Labour Commission asked us to do is to look at the salary structure of teachers and the general condition of service of teachers. So if he doesn't know, probably he wasn't there. There were two things, the salary structure and also the general condition of teachers, and that is why you have that comprehensive document there.
Yeah, so let me just reply you immediately before we even so end it. Now,
okay.
if a consultant does some piece of work, the consultant must show his identity.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the consultant must show his identity. If he's really a consultant. Two, mm-hmm. the submission or the submitter letter should have indicated the name of the consultant. What we have here is Bobochi Norbert and Esopoku Bwachi Divine. So who is the consultant who did that work? Now, at least some of us have also been doing consultancy work for others, and we know what it means. What we are trying to tell you is that if you have an issue, let us sit by the table and talk about the issue.
Let me ask you this question. Hello?
Yes, Mr. Biki, you just hold on after clarifying that one for Nana Bwachi too.
Let me ask him this question. Is he interested in the content of the proposal or to how the proposal goes? You understand? We are looking at the substance or the merit of the proposal, the content, the package that is there. Is he happy with the content? Yes or no?
That is why I'm saying
this cannot come from a proposal. You are not happy with the content. The content.
No, the content of the proposal.
The content. The content of the proposal.
Well, we have to call a truce here so that at least our listeners can hear precisely what is being stated.
Yes. All what I want to tell them is that if you want to remain in NAT as a pressure group, that is not the way to go about it. You cannot, under any circumstance, call on the leadership of the union to resign. You cannot.
Really?
You cannot, because you did not appoint them. A member of the association, that is why we have structures. If you think that you are a member of the association, you must go by the constitution of the association. You have
thank
to
you
say, I will not belong to the association again.
Thank
that is how
thank
I
you
belong
much.
To it.
It's
now the leaders have been expelled. That is all what I know. And if they want to go to court, they have the right to go to court to challenge the decision of the national offices.
Mr. BK, I'll say, just hold on. Nana Buachi wants to just make a point so that we allow you to come in.
Okay. Yes. Now let me talk about the suspension issue, that they have been suspended, and for that matter, they are not supposed to come there and all those things. Fantastic. But you see, you believe in the Constitution, and even the Constitution itself, you have been violated, because when you look at Article 6 of the Ignatz Constitution, which talks about cessation, and for that matter, suspension. You know, Article 1 talks about suspension, and then Article 6, Clause 1, talks about suspension. And then 2, further, Lisa, who rectifies a suspension? Look, according to the letter that we had, the national officers, of course, they are saying they have suspended us. But according to the law, that is the article, or sorry, the Ignatz Constitution itself, Article 6, Clause 2, and I want to read to the hearing of the general public. They say, a full report of all suspension made under Section 1, together with any statements by the members concerned, shall be submitted to the next meeting of the National Council for ratification. Look, so it means that for this article, it is a National Council that has the final verdict as to somebody getting suspended. So they're coming out, that's the national officers coming out and say that they have suspended. In itself, it's even a contradiction of what the Constitution that they believe in.
Okay, Nana Buachi, since you've made that point, let me give Mr. BK a say.
Who does not have respect for the Constitution? It's now quoting extensively for a Constitution.
Mr. BK, just a moment. Gentlemen, somebody is in charge of this interview. Yes. Mr. BK, just let me put this question to you before we finally allow you to go. From what they are saying, it means that a coalition of consent teachers want to come back. Would you extend an olive branch to them?
We have no problem with them. So far as they decide to use the rules of the game, we have no problem with them.
And what will you call the rules of the game in this case?
We have a constitution. The NAT constitution, from which is quoting extensively, is the guidelines and principles of the organization. We need to go by it. If you want to amend it, nobody has a problem with you. But he was citing certain aspects of the constitution. Now, if you also go and look at the functions of the national offices, and he realized that there are certain political decisions that the national officers can take without recourse to those things that he was talking about. So the Constitution has its own checks and balances. You should go and look at the functions of the national officers. And he will advise himself to see that, no, yes, you may think an aspect of the Constitution has been violated, but if you go to another part, the national officers are given the mandate to take political decisions, which include the dismissal of members.
Okay. So let me quickly ask, Mr. BK Osei,
yes,
about the single spine salary issue. Where are you now with the teachers?
Since you are not a member of my union, you can't ask me that question.
your membership would like to know. Made in short.
This is not an opportunity. This is not the avenue for me to explain it to my members.
But are you still working on it?
At the appropriate time, I will talk about that. Not on this program.
We want to thank you very much for your time this evening. Nana Buachi Adam, you are still online. What are you going to do? Are you going by the constitution that you are quoting now to get back into the union?
I don't know whether his line is off, but he quoted something that there was a labor commission order for which we met the leadership of NAC. Look, I wanted to ask him. There were three resolutions that were arrived at in that meeting. And one of them was that with immediate effect, Madame Irene Dorcan-Adelita should resign. Secondly, there should be a constitutional review. And thirdly, as soon as the constitutional review is done, obviously there will be a new or a fresh election. I wanted to ask him, how many of these three resolutions have they started even implementing? You understand? So the issue of collection of consent is that, look, we have gone through all the due processes of the law. We have sat with them. But how are they being fair to us? How are they implementing the policies?
Nana Buachi Adam.
You are
asking a lot of questions now, but it appears there is still a leeway for you to get back in there. So perhaps as the days go by, we'll be monitoring exactly how you do this, and perhaps we'll revisit the issue. But for now, we want to thank you very much on Behind the News.
All right, thank you very much.
Nana Boachiri Adom is a member of the communication team of the Coalition of Concerned Teachers. Earlier, we heard Mr. BK was the head of salaries at NAT. Behind the news, we are taking a short break. We'll be back. Behind the news, we move on to our next story, this time on politics. MPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo steps up its listening campaign as he embarks on another tour tomorrow, this time to the central region. The NDC believes its successful congress in Sunyai has sent some shivers down the spines of their opponents, particularly the MPP. So as Nana steps out again to do another round of listening, will he be mindful of the fact that the NDC is back on track after all the Fonka gains to give him a run for his money? We are seeking some answers to this question from Nana Addo's campaign manager for the 2012 elections, Bwachi Ejeakun, and he's on the line with us. Thank you so much, Mr. Bwachi Ejeakun.
My pleasure.
Yes, just a little bit of your previous tour, because when we tried to establish contact, you were in the Afram Plains. How did it go?
It's gone very well. The format we've adopted brings the candidate right down to the grassroots. It allows the various communities we are visiting to participate and engage the candidate directly, to hear their concerns, their woes, their fears, and their aspirations. And it allows the candidate to assuage those sentiments that are rough, those sentiments, and smoothen ruffle feathers, and also share his vision of what he intends to do as president if God should grant him his wish. So it's been very engaging, very insightful, and I think that the people have enjoyed it as well as the team.
So what were some of the issues that really ruffled feathers as you went round?
Well, when I say ruffled feathers, people in this country had a certain expectation when they went to the polls in 2008. It is palpably clear that those expectations are far from being met. In the local communities, local economies are collapsing. I mean, we went to Sheshe, major tomato growing area. People are sitting, they can't move their goods. And suddenly they find that their local tomato economy is collapsed. High unemployment, there are concerns about education, and especially the future of our children. There are concerns about the national health insurance system and healthcare delivery. So these are the things that have ruffled the feathers of a nation, and they are seeking answers or assurances that things will be better in the future.
Yeah. Mr. Bwachiajaku, even as you raise these concerns, some will say that politicians, whilst in opposition, have all the answers. Has it not been similar previously?
Look, the MPP came to power in 2001, and it embarked on the most comprehensive and extensive social intervention programs this nation has ever seen. The record of the Kufuor administration and the MPP is evident. So it is not just talk. It's been done before and it can be done again. When you make promises that you know you cannot fulfill, or when you, in order to get power, you make promises that you know are out of the reach of your competence, then you run into problems. The people of this country will listen to the promises you make and hold your feet to the fire. It is when your feet are held to the fire that you begin to demur, that you didn't say this, you didn't make this promise. But the MPP came into power in 2001, and we delivered extensively on our promises. We intend to do that again.
Yeah. So for these ones, how do you intend to do them?
First of all, we've listened to the cares and woes and concerns, fears and aspirations of our compatriots. Issue number one that I see is unemployment. We, in 2008, talked about transforming the Gorgeous-Beg economy of low value addition and moving Ghana to an industrial state which provides better paying jobs for our citizens. That is still on the table. We are also painfully aware that in the 21st century and modern economy such as we are in this world, it takes an educated class to move the nation forward. And we cannot accept the fact that it is only the children of those who have who may benefit from education. And that is why in 2008 and now, we make it a cardinal principle to change the concept of basic education, which as currently has its exit point at junior high school, and move it to senior high school as your first exit point. And we also will keep our promise that for those in the public school system, basic education all the way to senior high school is going to be free, so that we will expand access and not limit it to those who can pay.
You are talking about all these, and people will say that perhaps the problems of Ghanaians have been known over the years, and even before the election, the presidential candidates might have been aware of some of these problems. You are embarking on another one to the central region. Are you going to expect something new?
No, it is important for any leader to listen to his constituent. Nanado listen. He wants to listen even the more. Between then and now, between 2008 and now, we ought to understand if there has been any fundamental or significant changes. And you can only do that through listening. Let me give you an example that brings the salience of a listening tour such as ours. There was once a president of the United States called Lyndon Johnson. When he was elected president, he had come from a very poor background in rural Texas. When he was elected president, he took the person who was going to be the chief of his social and economic policy, domestic social and economic policy, to the very neighborhood where he was born and grew up. It was still poor, but he took the man there for the man to listen and hear the people directly. And after the listening, he told them that any social or economic policy you craft, you must always have these people you've met today in mind. It was no accident, therefore, that under Lyndon Johnson, America saw the implementation of comprehensive social and economic programs domestically, because it made a searing impact on that. We intend to listen to the people at the grassroots testimonies, so that if God should grant us his favor and Nanado becomes president of this republic, it will be abundantly clear to him and to all those who serve under him that they have a responsibility towards the people of this country, particularly those in need.
So how do you do the tour? Is it from door to door, village to village? Because you said you are abandoning the mass rallies, or perhaps you've been incorporating them along the way.
No. Well, you see, political campaigns have faces. I think that door-to-door, the hype, it's a corn hype. Look, there are, go to Star Census, the 2000 census. It lists that there are 3.8 million houses in Ghana. And if anybody wants to sell us the bill of lading and say that they've done door-to-door, how many of those 3.8 million homes did they go to? It is a fad, it is a fake. We are not interested in that. We are not going door to door, but we are going from community to community, selected communities, of course, selected communities, and listening as a sample to what the sentiments are on the ground. and it will be representative enough to cover the generality of communities in this country.
Well, so after all these, certainly you have given the number of days that it will take for you to finish. The NDC is also finished with its Congress and has elected its flag bearer. Do you think it changes the terrain in any way?
It changes nothing. First of all, we all knew, from a strategic consideration, we all knew that NDC will certainly go to Congress. That is a no. We have factored that in. We also knew that it was going to be either President Mills or Nana Akunedo Ajimayi-Rawlings, because they were the only two constants. And if you play your scenario analysis well, or you war game the scenarios very well, you can have antidotes and answers to both. So for us, whether it was going to be President Mills or it was going to be Nana Akunedo Ajimayi-Rawlings, for us the value was going to be the same.
Don't you see anything at all coming in?
It changes
with the incumbency.
Nothing. Look, incumbency is a double-edged sword. Given the dismal record of the NDC in government, cosmetic changes as to who leads the dismal performance doesn't matter. Fundamentally, it is a failure. So the cosmetic changes of who leads it matters little. Incumbency is a double-edged sword, I say. Because, look, in 2000, NDC could have won on incumbency if it were all that powerful. It didn't. In 2008, the MPP was the incumbent party. It didn't win. So I am not going to frighten myself or make incumbency an end-all, be-all. If you have served well, if you have done your work well, and the people of the country appreciate your top performance, then incumbency is an advantage. But given the current circumstances where the anthem of the ordinary citizen is becoming Nkoyi, I don't see the benefit of incumbency.
Mr. Boateja, we want to thank you very much this evening for your time.
I thank you and your listeners, and have a good evening.
That's Nanado's campaign manager for the 2012 elections. But let's place it on record that we've arranged to speak to Mr. Yao Boatengyan. As we speak, we are still trying to make efforts to reach him on the line. When we manage to do so, or any representative from that side, we'll get him to respond to some of the issues behind the news. Let's pick some of your tests as we have them here. Mr. Obeda Samwa, you are most welcome back home. NDC is our homeland. We pray and hope that things will be well with us. Coming from Aziz Donla. And what about GBC's SSSS, which is nothing to write home about? It's very low. That's a concerned worker. You didn't add your name. Nanado should forget about 2012. Professor Mills all the way. Ofwe Seshi Jabusu. And we have a lot of tests coming in this direction, but we just picked two because of language. This one from Kwesieti, Accra Central. He says, I've heard a serial caller. You added a name, but we are deleting it. I've heard a serial caller on your unique FM try to run down your program. Tell him if he does not appreciate what is good, he should let the discerning ones who listen have their peace of mind. We all know him and the way he speaks. And Yawadum from Matayeku sent a similar one. I said, we are also omitting that name. Tell that person that discerning people listen to Behind the News. He should not think he's the only wise one. His dirty propaganda must stop now. We guess the person will know himself, and he should learn to keep his peace as the efforts are made in the studio here. Behind the News, we are taking a quick break. We'll be back. Behind the News on Radio Ghana, and we'll move on to our next story as we still try to make efforts to reach the other parties in the story we just finished. Many Ghanaians remember the name Dr. Obeda Samuel, the astute politician who held two portfolios during former President Rawlings' regime in the 1980s and 1990s. He is reputed to be the longest-serving Attorney General and Minister of Justice of Ghana. But the former foreign minister later became a party man and once served as the chairman of the NDC. He later had disagreements with the founder of the party in the run-up to the Akufo-Addo Congress in 2007. He broke away to form the Democratic Freedom Party, the DFP, after the Akufo-Addo rumpus. After a long hiatus, Dr. Obeda Samuel has hinted of plans to go back to the NDC. But why not the MPP? That is the question being posed. A tradition he ascribes to and is joining as a person or taking the entire DSP to join the NDC. The question is he joining as a person or taking the entire DSP to join the NDC? Tonight, Dr. Obeda Samuel tells us he has a meeting, so won't be able to speak to us. But we are still making efforts to reach the General Secretary of DSP. But the other questions are, how will the move affect the political terrain? Well, we have joining us on the line to do a quick assessment of it, Paul Abrampa of CDD Ghana. Thank you so much for your time, Paul Abrampa.
Thank you to my brother.
Why do you think Dr. Obeda Samuel is rejoining the NDC at this time?
Well, I heard Dr. Obeda Samuel explaining issues and some radio stations. They were interviewing him this morning. And also, immediately after the Akufo-Addo Congress, I mean, there were issues going around as to why he defected from the NDC to form his own party. So if he feels the issues that kicked him away from the party have been resolved, and he's seeing a new wind blowing in the party, that he feels his concerns have now partially or fully been addressed, I don't see why a party he's been a member of and a party he served under, I don't feel any problem for him to join. And also, I overheard the national secretary, the organizer, my uncle, Yabuatinjan, he's also explaining that there have been efforts underground to get all members of the party, both new and old, to rejoin the party. So I think it's a purposive effort by the party itself, and also a renewal of interest in the party based on resolved questions that were against some people that have brought them back to the party.
Well, certainly people might describe it as a nice time for him to come back. But do you think it affects in any way the political terrain now? Because NPP says they are getting stronger. We just spoke to Sabwachi Ejeakwu, and they are saying no matter who gets there, nothing will happen to their efforts to come back to power. Does it help the NDC really?
Well, it's going to help the NDC because looking at the votes of winning candidates and the difference between the winner and the runner-up over the years, it's been going, the gap has been bridged. And looking at the last election, you quite remember the margin that took the election to the second round and the margin that won the election for the NDC. So it tells you that every vote counts. And therefore, if there are people who are not only as a person who stands away but has followers, at least even if they are five, they count very much in the going of the elections in 2012, because you realize that there are no much more differences as we had in the 1992 when election started. It came down in 1996 and came down again. 2008, it was very marginal. So there should be effort. And I'm also not surprised that Nana Addo has also started a purposive effort to also reunite the party grassroots for everybody to come back. So, yes, I like the way the two parties have started galvanizing their support base, and I like the way talks are going on to bring back everybody into the fold of their various parties.
Some are saying that, oh, they stand to benefit from something because perhaps, if we have to use it that way, some largesse because the party is now in power. Do you see it that way? Do you agree?
It's both sides. Yes, the party is in power. When Dr. Obeda Samuel comes back to the party, he's an experienced politician. The party must benefit from his experience. He might also benefit from other positions in the party. But don't forget, the party rather needs Dr. Obeda Samuel more than the doctor needs the party. Because Dr. Wan is an experienced politician, he served under the party before, he's recognized by almost everybody in the country as an astute politician, and the party faithful also have some interest in him. That's why picking from Honorable Yawotinjan's statement, they have been talks underground. Why then do they need him? Because they need everybody to the fold, and more so an experienced person like Dr. Obeda Samuel, whose experience could be brought to bear on the party's fortunes to help other experienced ones in the party, like Honorable Sidin Ketia, Kobneje, and the others. I mean, when they come together, I think it will be an advantage for the NDC.
Sometimes we wouldn't like to speculate, but we've heard things from the grapevine that anything at all is possible with the planned press briefing or press conference of the camp, the other camp that contested Professor Mills in the Congress last Saturday. Assuming, that is, if we are using speculation, that the Rawlinses are not even part of the campaign, will Dr. Obeda Samuel's rejoining help them?
Well, yes, it's a plus and a minus. I wish the Rawlinses do not make any statements as to the effect of defecting from the NDC, forming their own political party, because no matter what, the Rawlinses count a lot for the fortunes of the NDC, and President Mills, President Rawlinson, is somebody who pulls the followers anywhere he goes. Yeah, so if he joins the NDC, it's a plus. If he's still in the NDC, it's a plus. And the addition of of Dr. Obeda Samuel is going to be a double plus for the NDC, because then they have two experienced ones to help the other experienced personalities within the party. That's why it's very much, and it will be very much in the interest of the NDC that followers of the party do not make any statements that will seek to widen the difference and the gap between the two factions, because we know definitely, based judging from the reasons why Doctor went away from the party and why he's coming back, definitely there was a sort of cold blood between the two people. And therefore, there's no need for people to be making statements that will antagonize somebody or that will let somebody get angry to defect. There should be a purposive agenda for the NDC to unite everybody and bring everybody back into the party, forgetting about any history that necessitated a second defection.
Savran Pamensa, please hold on for us. We have joining us on the line, acting youth organizer of the Democratic Freedom Party, BB Moses, to respond to a few of the concerns. BB, you are welcome to Behind the News. Hello, BB. We seem not to be having BB. But coming back to you, looking at the way things are playing out, we had other members who broke away also coming back. Looking at the Ghanaian political terrain, can we really say that breakaway factions can't succeed on their own the way things are turning out to be?
Well, not breakaway factions. All minority parties in the country for years to come will have to struggle before they can make real impact in the political terrain. Whether we like it or not, the two leading political parties have really established themselves in the system. And look at the organizational realm, the coverage and the reach of the parties. They seem to cover every corner of the country as against the other political parties. So if even those already established are struggling to survive, how much more you now coming up? So it will be very difficult for any new breakaway party to make any impact. And examples are there. Maybe you have some time to talk to Honorable Gustano, and we talked to Dr. Obeda Samuel and the other people who went on their own. It will be very difficult for any party, as it is now in the system, to really make an impact in when they break away from their mother party.
This time I have the indication that BB Moses is on the line, so please hold on for us. We'll come back to you. BB, how do you feel having to rejoin your mother party?
Kingsley, good evening to your listeners, and thank you for having me online. Good. BFC, as a political party, we have structures that we have set to do the talking with the NDC for a possible return. And I'm very sure that I'm not so much competent this evening to go to the details. But I think that a family reunion, whether politically, socially or spiritually, is always very good, and it is a piece of good news. Because nobody will want to stay away from a family forever. And if I would take the words of my patron, he said that you cannot nurse a concern for life. So with this, I think that it is a piece of good news that DFC, we have in talks, and until that one is over, I will not want to go into the details of it.
Yeah, but as you are welcomed back into the fold, do you think that others will see you as those who betrayed their cause when it mattered most as of the time you broke away?
Obviously, you will not have anything that will please everybody. If you have an intention of pleasing everybody in life, then you will definitely get nowhere. So as to whether people will be happy or not, the most important thing is that talks are ongoing and the final details will be given to the general public in due time.
When are we to expect the final details?
I cannot tell you now.
But very soon. Can you put a timeline on it?
Oh, not. I just said I cannot tell you now.
But for how long have you had the talks?
Oh, for some time now. I think the talks didn't start today.
Quite a year? Oh, you can't see.
I said the details will be put out to the public quite soon. So just let us keep our fingers crossed and wait.
Okay. Bibi Moses, thank you very much for your time. But coming back to you, Mr. Paul Abrampa, Mensa, I raised that issue with the acting youth organizer. That is, won't some members of the party, that is the mother party, see the group as coming back to enjoy when it's all well now?
Well, yes, we have that culture in the country, not only for political party members, even among the constituency executives and people in communities. I don't know what to call it, a stranger syndrome, that people feel we started a party, we've been with a party, we've suffered, therefore, now that there are booties, you want to come and join us. I think the greedy bastards and the newcomers all come from such thinking. And I think it's not good to help anybody because everybody counts and somebody has also helped before in nurturing the party before you also joined it. So a political party is an ongoing affair. And when you look at the NDC manifesto, it's clearly stated in there that the NDC welcomes every Ghanaian who shares their vision and in their ideology. So I think that idea of somebody being a newcomer into a party, every vote counts, and therefore we need to welcome everybody, let alone somebody who was part of us and because of one or two issues defected, and the party has put an agenda together to reunite all factions and have a united front to face 2012. As I did say, it is not easy to win a political seat in the country now, looking at the statistics that are coming out from successive elections. It continues to dwindle. And if you really want to make a first-term impact or win elections successfully, we need to bring everybody on board.
Do you sense some apathy, even from party members, based on what happens around?
Come again, my brother.
I'm asking, sometimes you are talking about the dwindling fortunes of some parties at times, even in their strongholds. And I'm asking, is there a sense of apathy because sometimes they are disappointed?
Apathy is one of it, and also inability of the party structures to deal with emerging problems is also a major factor. And when you look at the last elections, primaries within the MPP, it affected them very much when they presented about 17 candidates, and the campaigning towards the elections of their candidates resulted to so many acrimonies, including sending fabricated text messages to others to just defame other parties. This came about, and also we didn't know where the issue of Asante Achim came up. That also divided the party a lot. The party structures couldn't deal with these problems enough. That's why you realize that in the first vote, some of the strongholds recorded very low votes as against the second round, where the margins went up. If they had voted enough and massively as they did in the second round, I don't think the NPP would have been in a position by now. So, yes, apathy is one, but the effectiveness of the party structures to deal with emerging problems, especially after primaries, is also a major factor that contributes to low turnout for party supporters.
So, for the NDC, since they have just finished their Congress, what do you suggest? Because it appears it's all not settled, even though they finished and elected and given a massive mandate.
Well, if you did follow the NDC Congress well, and if you did listen to the speeches that came from whoever made a speech, especially the Honorable His Excellency, the Vice President, using the analogy of three bears, example from the northern part of the country, and from Prof. Mills himself, from the former president, they all hinted that their Congress at Sunyani wasn't the issue at stake. The issue is how to bring back everybody, how to unite the party to fight 2012. The issue is not Nana Akunedu and Prof. Mills. The issue is about how they confront the opposition come 2012. So I think, yes, they acknowledge that. And the most interesting aspect is also that Prof. Mills did acknowledge that if Nana Akunedu had not contested, he wouldn't have heard some of the issues going around at the grassroots and can never, ever sweep them under the carpet. And therefore, he's going to tackle every issue. It tells you that, yes, they are seriously going to mobilize themselves. And right after the election, the Congress, Baba Jamal was interviewed. And he also did say that he was appealing to every member not to make statements that will antagonize or be set people to be so peeved as to be making talks very difficult. So they did recognize that, and I think it behoves on them now to put an agenda together, as they've started with those who defected. But they also go down to the constituencies so that constituency executives do not divide themselves and turn appointing fingers against each other. If it happens that way, people will take backstage and will not give in their maximum best to help in mobilization of the grassroots support for the fortunes of the party. So there should be a purposive agenda of unity to bring everybody back to the party in towards 2012.
Paul Abraham Pamensa, I want to thank you very much for your time this evening.
You're welcome, my brother.
He's a programs officer at CDD, analyzing the issues of the rejoining of the party by Dr. Obed Asamoah and the DFP and other related issues. And this is where we wrap it all up for Behind the News tonight. On behalf of my production team of Christopher Sidu, Edmond Tete, and Bright Agama, together with George Kwakwa, sound engineer, my name is Kingsley Obinchere.